worried that you might be the cool kid. You wear the latest fashions on top of all the trends. Or have you ever worried you were too much in the mainstream? Always so generic, more normal than your friends. Well, we've devised a test to put to rest your fears. There's no need to panic if you lend us your ears. Tonight you can't sleep easy after all that you've heard. Cause if you like the show, then you're probably a nerd. Oh, Kevin, it's on.
And welcome to the It's Canon Podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things in the week of geek, the place where we talk about all things geek, pop culture, all things comic books, all things shows, all things Peacemaker, all things going on in your world of pop culture. It's the It's Canon Podcast, and I'm joined this week by Tyler.
Hey, oh, I have fought my way back from the brink of just insanity to make it.
Yes, and it's just myself and Tyler this week. Boris has befallen the great family day tradition of being hungover.
Is he hungover?
I don't know. I'm going to say that just for comedy's sake. We hope that the ailment gets remedied. I usually find that happens later in the day after drinking lots of water. So I hope, you know, if it is a hangover, if it isn't, if it's something else, well, I look the fool, and I'm sure Boris will laugh and hit me. So we wish him well, though. No, seriously. So this week, we are your co-pilots in the crazy adventure of the week that is geek. And yeah, what have you been up to, Tyler, since we last talked?
So yeah, I have been in a incredible blitz of getting work out the door and doing renovations, and then by about like 7 p.m. collapsing onto the couch. Ooh. And there has been too many. We are now in the early 2022 problem of too many games that are, even if they're not great, they're good enough. There's enough things out there that I'm willing to just sink time into the couch. And that's good. How about yourself, Phil?
You know what? It was kind of funny because I was doing a little bit of a news roundup myself yesterday or over the weekend. And I was remarking on what a prolific month February is, which we did in last episode a little bit about the video games that are coming out. And obviously, a lot of these video games missed their mark for getting in on the holiday 2021 or whatever their original mark was. And now this week, it's just been crazy for what I'm seeing, what's being updated.
Yeah.
And what's coming.
Yeah.
Like I got the Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, Forbidden West game.
Yeah.
And it's being awfully kind to me, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm also looking at this Elden Ring thing now with a little bit of bated breath.
Yeah.
And there's another one that's just, man, I'm having a tough time with it because it's like a relationship. All right, I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
Old man Phil here.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I bought my PlayStation 1, I was involved in a relationship with a young lady who worked at a video game store. And she was a hardcore Nintendo fan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And when we would play our games, she was always jealous of the PlayStation because of the CD-ROMs. And there seemed to be more advancement on that versus a cartridge-based system like the Super Nintendo. You know, it was console wars, and it was fun. You know, Sony was a relative unknown. And one of the properties that came out of that relative unknownness was a little disc called Gran Turismo.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and I gotta say, this game, holy crap. Did it ever blow my mind? It was just like, slap that puppy in, and you're seeing cars that you owned or currently own in a video game. Fairly somewhat realistically depicted onto different environments, road, terrain, that type of thing. And it was, damn, was it ever fun. So, you know, the rumor is that I haven't done any great deal of research into it, but somebody anecdotally told me a story where Bill Gates, who was, you know, at that time making multi-floppy disk games like Flight Simulator and whatnot, he was so obsessed with Gran Turismo that that was the whole genesis of the Forza line, where he went out. Eventually, the first couple Forza games were made by a different company.
Okay.
Then Playground Games came in and started making it. And that was on number 3, I believe. And then the rest is history. Playground Games is now a crown jewel in the Microsoft empire who can seemingly do no wrong with the franchise and has even been entrusted with the new Fable. So,
for good or ill.
Yes, it should be interesting to see. So this game, that's the origins of it. And Gran Turismo had different versions. It evolved. But when I looked at the competition, when I looked at the Xboxes, all right, they were becoming more fun. Gran Turismo was standing to be a simulation. And that simulation, sometimes, you know how, I mean, you've played Flight Simulator, right?
I yes.
Like, you've at least tried it in the
yes.
In some form. You know,
it is beyond me, but I have tried it.
Yeah, so you sit in the plane.
Yep.
And you fly it.
Yes.
Okay, if you think it's going to be easy to get down to the level of the pyramids to buzz by them, it is not. The ground likes to hit you fast. Okay. It is a video game, but it doesn't play like a video game. It plays like a simulator, which means there's realism.
Yep.
Forza, yeah, as a general guideline, was the pursuit of that, you know, simulation in a lot of ways.
Yeah, same idea.
Yeah, and then you had the Horizon series, which was much more arcade-ish. You suspended physics a little bit. You have some fun with the car and the speed. Still replicating that experience, and that's where I've really fallen into. But I can't, for the life of me, after so many times of being hurt in my relationship with Gran Turismo, which is why I liken it to a really bad relationship with an ex. I can't help but hear its siren call when Gran Turismo 7 is knocking on the door.
No!
And saying, for $110, you too can revisit that pain. But you might get the best fuck of your life.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy it. And then painfully regret the 100 gigabytes it's going to occupy on my PS5. But yep. Try to convince myself every third Friday that I'm going to fire it up again and see if I was wrong. Sorry for the colorful language, everybody, but sometimes you got to put it in terms that we can all relate.
Ah, game. I will note, if you have an extra hard drive,
mm-hmm,
that you plug into the PS5,
yep,
you can transfer your games, your PS5 yep, games, over, which is faster than having to re-download.
Yes, it is. And it is a nice feature, and I have been taking advantage of it until I finally belly up to the counter and decide that I'm no longer going to be buying the softwares until I get an expansion SSD, because I am spoiled by the Xbox Series S. in that I've got an internal little hard drive SSD, and I bought the external Seagate 1 terabyte.
Yep.
And it's really nice having a terabyte and a half. Yep. And then I look at the 800-ish on the PlayStation 5, and I think, wouldn't it be great? Apparently, this week, Seagate is talking about bringing out a 5 terabyte SSD for the PlayStation. And here's an important thing that everybody needs to keep in mind. Not only do you need to pay attention to the statistics on these things, you also have to, if you're ordering off of Amazon or going into your local computer shop, you have to be aware that these SSDs require a heat sink be mounted onto it.
Okay, good feel to know.
All right, because they'll want to sell you just the SSD, the chip, but you need to have a heat sink on it for the PlayStation to like it. Otherwise, it's snap, crackle, and pop.
Gets too hot?
Gets too hot if there's not a way. So just make sure that it's got that little heat shield on it that looks like an ironing board or something like that, because that's the most important feature for the PlayStation. Now, some guys have run it without, but I would not recommend chancing it, and neither does Sony. So be careful, as it's money well burnt.
Yeah, and those SSDs have come down in price from what they once were.
Yep.
But they're not cheap, and I can only imagine what a 5 terabyte cost you.
You know what? We're in a great position right now, I think, because the betting man on Sony's side, all right, I'm not throwing shade at Microsoft. At least they have a solution that's a little more durable and portable, and I guess that was the intent that they went with, as it's like a cartridge-based expansion system.
Yep.
With Sony, I think the bet was that this technology was going to be coming a really big emerging market.
Yeah.
Because of the established base. That's really going to drive production, and driving production on these things just means prices go down at some point. So
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, we are seeing it. I think Canadian, you can get in at around 169 or even cheaper, depending on the sizes, for 1 terabyte-ish, right? But it's so difficult, because you'll see headlines where it's like, oh, you can get in for $70, but that's for like a 250 gigabyte. You know, you have to be careful with sizing and whatnot. It's a lot of numbers, though, so it's not for the faint of heart. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you might have to go to Best Buy and use those tech guys or something if you're a little bit gun-shy with this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
No shame. I'll be doing it myself.
I don't know. I might just keep with the external. I'd be okay with that. We'll see.
That's the thing. The external doesn't... It means that you don't have to really feel rushed about the decision.
Yeah.
Right. When you do it, you're going to be really happy, and you're going to wonder, how the hell did you live before? Because I got to say, like Cyberpunk this week, we're going to talk about it. They released a pretty meaty patch. Right. And like, there's a PlayStation 5 version. Right. And for me, it was like, all right, I need to move something in order to put this on. I've got to do the parking space thing. Right. So I started to move some of the games that are PS5 with the knowledge that it's easier to move them onto the external storage than it is to re-download them. And I gotta say, it's a little bit disheartening when the screen shows up and it's like that bar just ticks. Tick, 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 tick. And then that bar is gonna have to tick the other way when you want to put it back, right? It's gonna dot, 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 dot. I'm not sure if that's faster or what, but you're limited by the read speed of your external hard drive. So right, it's tough times. And the funny thing is that the Stadia community is like, yay, because they're like, the icon changed, it's updated.
Yeah. True.
There was a little bit of like, yeah, that's the reason why I bought it there. However, they put out a statistic that said that the Stadia version has ray tracing, and I don't believe that is true. So there's a little bit of a mistake there. And there was also that small mistake of it not working on the PS4 with the disc.
Fair.
But they fixed that. So good on. And I was, we'll talk about that. I've got thoughts on CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, let's follow up with that. We are doing a interesting episode today. We're going to cover a quick few topics, and then we're going to delve into and have a nice about the video games.
We're going to save the Peacemaker finale and post-show examination or deep dive for another episode when all three of us are here. But we did watch it, and man, oh man. Yeah, do yourself a favor in preparation for that. Go and watch the 8th episode. You will not be disappointed with Jabba the Hutt meets Grogu.
Yep.
I couldn't help but feel that that was the intent of James Gunn. I'm going to take Grogu's eyes and I'm going to make him Jabba the Hutt.
Choices were made.
Watch it again and you'll never get that thought out of your head. Oh, man. So, where would you like to start, Tyler?
We're going to start with the Microsoft Activision, Blizzard Activision acquisition news that dropped this week. From an SEC filing, it became clear that Microsoft started that very shortly after the bombshell Wall Street alleging Bobby, CEO of Activision Blizzard, Bobby Kotick, knew about the sexual harassment claims. It looks like, you know, less than 3 days later, Microsoft started negotiations and was done 8 weeks later, for 8 weeks after that, which is bananas fast in the world of acquisitions.
Yeah. It also, it makes sense, because I know that there's been a lot of push on Bobby to get the hell out of Activision, right? Like, the employees were legitimately mad about it, and rightfully so. It makes sense now to know that all that was in play, and he was sitting there going, I'm fucking not going anywhere, guys. Like, like, not until, because I'm sure he knew, I'm getting the payday on the golden parachute out of here. Like,
speaking of payday, Bobby Kotick, as a result of being CEO during this acquisition, is walking away with $14.5 billion.
Hang on, billion or million?
Million.
Oh, that's still a pretty good payday.
That's, and that is assuming he still sells a bunch of his shares. Because he also could liquidate his entire holding as part of the purchase and make $400 million.
Oh, come on. Stuff like this with CEO pays just gets me irate, Tyler.
Yep.
I can't complain about my wage that I earn for a living. I'm a very comfortably positioned person in life.
Yep.
And I'm very thankful for it. However, my drop in the bucket is nowhere near the inhuman amount that these people make.
Yeah. So I'm with you 100%. It's bananas. That's, I have a lot of thoughts on it, but it's really hard to have the thoughts.
It's a social commentary. It's a social commentary, and we could go. I don't want us to go down that road. I think people know, and they can relate to that. I'm just going to put it out there as a general statement, just so I'm on the record as not being a fan of that at all. I think that there is a huge issue in society when it comes to that. And then you factor in on top of it, those people don't seem to pay their taxes. Drives me nuts.
Yep. Yep. I have a lot of things I could say specifically on it. It is worth noting that we don't fully know how the investigations are gonna turn out. There is a bunch of investigations into Activision Blizzard still, including allegations that they destroyed evidence, which is a big no-no and possibly a crime.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I there's so many horrible things that emerged. When I look back on that, like the literal news dumpster fire that was that story, and I know we didn't do a weekly breakdown on it, and for good reason, but it's just phenomenal to me, the whole thing with the Cosby room and everything like that. Like, and Microsoft is just sitting there going, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be interesting if the FCC looks into, like, where those stories leaked from. And how that impacts the acquisition, right? Like, I'm sure there's going to be a correlation between news dumps and, you know, the negotiation.
I mean, the negotiation started after the dumps.
Well, it started after a news dump.
Well, after the big one.
Yeah,
right?
But like, this would have been after. Kept going, right? Like, some of the damaging details, like, that got really ugly later and later into it.
Yeah.
Because almost every week, it was like, there's another story about Blizzard Activision, right? Like, we just found out XYZ happened to these employees, and then you had people being elevated into roles and quitting almost immediately upon certain disclosures and whatnot. Like, there was a lot. Like, and I don't want to go into it, but I'm pretty sure that the regulators are going to at least be examining it as anecdotal or not. So,
yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Next up is, we were talking about Cyberpunk had a huge update. It's now next-gen compatible, or next-gen not compatible, optimized or whatever.
Yeah.
Rebalanced a bunch of it, redid, like, reworked just whole swacks of the game.
Yep.
Added a bunch of stuff people viewed as missing.
I'm going to say my honest reaction to this. We knew there was a live stream going to be doing, like, going on last Tuesday.
Yep.
I did not for a million years. I could foresee this much. That the next gen version was going to be released to their commitments. I did not foresee that it was going to be day and date of that announcement. And I gotta say congratulations to CD Projekt Red, because I was not anticipating being able to go to my PlayStation 5 and download for free the game in the next gen capacity that evening. So unbelievably surpassed. I was waiting for them to say this summer you're going to be able to play it on your PlayStation 5.
Yeah, you know, before we go into the commentary and examination of the actual, like, what was released, it is worth noting this is a classy move. And what I think we all kind of said of, like, their best move right now is to just get to work.
Yeah.
Right? It is definitely better than it was. There's definitely a lot of stuff added.
Hey, the girl will send you nudies now.
Pan Am will send you nudes.
Yeah.
There are two girls, remember?
Yes.
Two girls, two guys, so far, that you can play games with. Various games.
Various games.
Yeah.
I still haven't tried finished it. Yet? Still haven't even really started it. So I told myself that I was going to wait when I got the PlayStation 5, that I was going to wait until that version, because I figured that was going to be the best version. So it came in, and I'm in that spot, man, that we talked about. There's too many games in the month of February. That one dropped the hell out of nowhere on me. Right? And then, you know, Elden Ring is coming up, and Horizon, and oh my gosh, but good on CD Projekt Red. I gotta say, you know, like, there's a little bit of controversy because apparently it was quite broken on the PS4 disc version, where the game wouldn't launch with the disc in, it didn't recognize it, but they've apparently patched that, and there's, I believe, a firmware update going out to the PlayStation 4 this week.
Mm-hmm.
to help remedy that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's acting on good behavior. I see it in the store. I've also heard whispers and rumors that it's going to be coming to Xbox Game Pass at some point, but I'm not clear on if it's Xbox Game Pass, the full game, or if it's just that free trial, because I believe on the Sony side, they give you the ability to play a free trial, like a timed trial of the game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that feature's on the Xbox yet, and maybe that's the feature that's going to be on Game Pass. But regardless, it's going to get into more people's hands on more eyeballs and more consoles. So I'm glad to see it back and being able to transact in the video game world with fans.
Yep.
And the fans seem to be happy, like, by and large. I've not read of anything major. Like, you know, these games can be buggy. So
yeah, I mean, I think that calling a spade, I think that they're doing what arguably Mass Effect Andromeda should have done, which is, at some point, if the hype gets too big, it's almost impossible to live up to it, and that's fine. Could both games have been released in better states? 100%.
Yeah.
That being said, like, once it's out there, your best frickin' call is probably just to keep polishing it and just, like, let the naysayers have their first round of naysaying, and then they just kind of go away for the next thing, because a lot of them probably aren't your real market anyways.
Well, everybody loves a pile-on.
This is what I'm saying,
calling
right?
it all along, right? Like, everyone's going to make the memes that show the head floating in air or XYZ. But how many of those people actually play it, to your point, right? It's like, I think if you actually followed that person who's created that thing, I think that they relish the idea that they got notoriety for making something funny. And they don't actually game the game, right? That being said, I have a friend who finished it on the PlayStation 4 like 3 times.
Yeah.
And he was adamant to me, there's nothing really wrong with the game as far as playability. And then his laundry list of issues with the game were actually pertaining to the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's just like, I didn't like this dynamic. This needs to be rebalanced. This needs to be addressed. You have too much, the monetary buildup of your cash gets to be too big and you have nothing to spend it on. So that when he found out that you could have different living accommodations, like different apartments, he's like, that makes sense, because now you can start spending your money at a level that makes sense to wanting to be able to go out and make more money if you're able to diversify.
And they've started to lay stuff into being able to retrofit and change your apartments. They've made it so your apartment actually does stuff for you. They've rebalanced, like, to your thing, they've rebalanced a lot of the game. Yeah.
Good for them. I hope that the fans go out and enjoy it and continue to iterate this, because the one thing with CD Projekt Red that they've shown with their other properties is that if the interest is there, they will continue to push out patches and updates to make the player base happy.
It's also worth noting that, like, Cyberpunk 2077 still has made them bank.
Yeah.
They've made them bank, and I think that, you know, a thing we can learn from this is BioWare EA dropping Mass Effect Andromeda and being like, DLC's canceled, we're not doing anything, was a mistake.
Well, and they did the same thing with Anthem, right? Like,
I mean, I think Anthem was in a worse state, in part because I don't know what the game was there.
Yeah.
Versus, like, Andromeda was a full game. The multiplayer had stuff. They had DLC they had already started work on.
I have to say, though, Anthem, it had a really great shine. It wanted to be Iron Man meets Destiny. Like, it had some potential. It just didn't have confidence in its structure. It just got lost in certain things. The battles were okay. Fighting in it was okay. There was a lot of stuff that was okay. Exploration was okay. But they didn't invest the time in the support systems and didn't invest the time in the story development, didn't invest the time in the kind of the common area that you need to be able to base yourself out of. It was a little bit of a mess. It didn't focus right on that stuff. Whereas, you know, in Destiny, I don't know, I spent how many years playing Destiny and Destiny 2, and it's like we'd just hang out in those common areas and chat and figure out which mission we were going to go on next, and then hop in our starfighters, and away we'd go. The potential was there for Anthem to have that community.
Yeah.
It just got scared of Destiny. And, well, EA was a dumpster fire at the time.
Yep.
Most yeah. compelling, yep, there is.
Yeah.
Anthem was a dumpster fire, but
it wasn't for me from the beginning. It was also, I think that, you know, to a large problem, it was also a company that was known really for single player experiences to make an MMO type thing. There was a lot.
Yeah.
But that brings us to our third story, which is kind of a collection of stories of it's been a real weird week regarding video games and cryptocurrency. So on Tuesday, it was reported that that Magic the Gathering, so Hasbro, mm-hmm. which owns Wizards of the Coast, which owns Magic the Gathering, had issued a cease and desist towards an NFT group, basically saying that you cannot just take our IP and put it on the blockchain. That's not how any of this works. And they kind of responded with, yeah, we can.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to get sued into oblivion.
Like, do they not realize that Hasbro can print money?
They don't even care. They don't. It's a whole set. It's also worth noting that OpenSea, which is the main NFT marketplace, had a major phishing scam resulting in theft last night, which, because NFTs are so hard to value, if we accept they have value, depending on who you ask, it is somewhere between $1.7 million and $200 million worth of stolen assets.
Wow.
And then some of it was given back. Some of it was given back to different people. Some people were given free money as a result. Who knows what is going on here? My biggest takeaway is, no matter what they tell you, this stuff isn't inherently safer.
Yeah. I hear you there. It's been a week in the world, especially here in Canada. And I know that there's a controversial bit of legislation that got put into effect on the weekend for a situation that was happening in our capital. The one thing that I took away from that as a note was, I believe it's the first time that a government, or at least our government, is actually chasing down and stopping certain cryptocurrency payments.
Yes.
And well, I found that to be interesting, because I don't know how that works, right? Like, there's lots of talk, there's lots of buzzwords in the news. I'm waiting to see how it all susses out in what was actually done. But they're like, you know, they're freezing digital wallets. They're, you know what I mean? Like, looking into a lot of this stuff now. So to me, it's somewhat of a positive thing, because we gripe about this from time to time. But like we point out, cryptocurrency isn't really legislated, right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, and I don't bring it up as something that it's going to be the focus of a special at some point, right? Like, it's going to be when there's more information out there and we understand a little bit better. I know that you have a great understanding of it all, but to the layperson, I see a lot of backlash right now to NFTs, and I see a lot of backlash going on with crypto, which I never used to see before, right? It seemed to be this, like, this little thing, either you were in it or you weren't. Now I'm seeing people pushing back vocally. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that those questions that you ask are questions that I'm asking, right? Like, the regular day-to-day guy is sitting here going, is crypto real? What the hell? An NFT sounds outrageous to me on so many levels. Like, how is it that it has this value just because somebody's willing to pay for it? Sure, that's the way the collectible market goes, but it's interesting to me that this whole digital idea, what we embraced not so long ago as something that can be digital and digitally exchanged or shared with many people, all of a sudden you're talking about digital exclusivity.
Yeah.
It's weird. Napster is no longer in effect.
I mean, look, the best, quickest piece I have found thus far on it is a YouTube video called The Line Goes Up. It's been doing the rounds. It is like, it's been watched millions of times already. It is unfortunately like 2.5 hours. It is worth noting, like, I have been in the crypto space since the beginning. I did some mining in the early days. I worked for, I've worked for a few different companies and stuff. And I think it's a scam.
Yeah.
I think that there is maybe some kind of interesting technology at the heart of it. But I don't think anyone's found a good enough use for it to justify any of the cost.
It seems like the dark side of it is supremely overwhelming over the benefits, right? Like, over anything good that you can glean out of it.
Yeah, I mean, any upside? Yeah, well, I don't want to go into the whole thing. There's a whole thing.
No, I know. Yeah. Idea.
But all of that, all of these pieces, and then Nintendo's recent kind of taking stuff and doing the Disney of they're putting a lot of their stuff in the vault. They're going to be closing the Wii U and Nintendo 3DS online stores, and they are making it increasingly hard to access their old games unless you're willing to pay a monthly fee.
That's kind of crazy, man.
Which, you know, it's a thing. But all this brings us to kind of our big topic for the day, which is we're going to talk about, like, the state of video games and how all these weird things are going on all at once, and they're all interacting, and they're all leading to some really weird stuff in the gaming industry.
Yeah, like, I'd like to make a comment about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Where I was really, really impressed when I bought my Switch. Number one, the execution of the actual product. It's been a while since I've been in the Nintendo headspace when I picked it up. And I was really impressed with everything, because previous to that, I was kind of making fun of it. And I realized the value proposition that Nintendo bring. And I was constantly surprised at their approach with online. And the absolute accessible nature of their online service, right? Like, it was literally, like, you know, a couple bucks a month type thing, and you got access. Now, admittedly, it doesn't do as much as other online services like a Sony or an Xbox or whatever, right? Like, it is not flexing on that level, but it does give you some benefits, right? Like, you get some of the old 8-bit games. You get the ability to do some cross-play or visits in Animal Crossing, that type of thing. I was like, hey, you know what? This seems to be a fairly responsible approach by a company that's just putting its toe in the water and saying, let's see this space, right? Now, reviewing the numbers like we do on this show and constantly seeing how Nintendo dominate on their gaming front and the absolute deep penetration they have in the market, on the gaming market, with some of their titles like Pokemon's and whatnot and Mario Kart's. And then seeing this behavior and increasing, like, they obviously step things up with the whole, you know, they've increased prices for this online shop, and they've tiered the online shop, right?
There's,
there's different buy-in levels now, and there's different gets at different prices. And it's absolutely terrifying to me to see how aggressive Nintendo's getting into that space, and about how they're denying so much, because Nintendo are also extremely notorious for chasing down anyone who is hacking their game, putting up the ROMs, everything like that. Like, their legal department is probably like 10 times more hyperactive than most other video game companies. You know, like, they're just like, let our games be streamed on Twitch. Let this happen. Let, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that we've talked about that they could go after people and say, don't play that music. Don't do this. Don't do that. Nintendo do. They go after the people, right? Like, they sit there and they go, nope, this has to be controlled. There is not, like, all of this stuff is within our family cage. And we're talking about further doing it now. Like, them going to, again, the next level.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, one of my things is very much of Nintendo doesn't compete, really, with Microsoft and Sony in the traditional way we'd consider competition.
Right.
So in economics, one of the terms is whether or not you have a comparative. So for example, you know, if the price of Doritos were to suddenly skyrocket, would you just switch to other chips or would you stick with Doritos? Right. And theoretically, there is at some price point that, you know, in theory, and again, humans don't quite work like this, but in theory, there is some price point that is the maximum price point each individual would pay for Doritos.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to Sun Chips.
Yeah, or Tostitos, or whatever, like 100%. And you know, it's I can't remember the exact economics terms, I'm drawing a blank, but it's what are their, like, how easy can you switch the competition, and what is the competition?
Right, like, what's the barrier, right? Like,
yeah,
is the average Doritos eater buying the Doritos due to the brand?
Yep.
Or due to the unique flavor?
Yep.
You know, what's the catalyst there before they'll switch? Is it price point, or is it just they get the munchies after they've smoked one?
Yep. And part of it is, like, just literally the calorie, like, right? Yep. So, what, you know, if we look over to cell phones for a moment, one of Apple's ways of discouraging you from switching is how much is stuck in that Apple ecosystem. Right? Yep. Like, if you go from Apple to Android, you lose all your purchased apps.
Yes.
Which, you know, for good or bad, it's what it is.
Oh, the chokehold isn't the apps as much. It's the music. Before streaming services became dominant, if you wanted to legitimately enjoy digital music, you were tied to iTunes. And you know what you did? You, like, there wasn't streaming, right? But there was downloading. There was obtaining it. You could buy a CD and rip it in iTunes, and it would encode it for iTunes first. You had to go in and fiddle with it to make it an MP3 if you wanted that.
Yeah.
So it was more universally translatable. But you would sit there and go, ah, screw it. I'm not going to go walk down and stand in line on a Tuesday for X music release. I'm just going to buy it digitally and download it from Apple on that Tuesday. And that was like a coffin for the consumer in their relationship with Apple. They couldn't get out of it. Because it's like, if I go to Android, I lose all my music that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did it further with the iTunes movie store and all that stuff. You buy a physical movie, you get a code, I'm going to unlock it on iTunes. Why? Because I get the extra features, I get, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you get that you don't get at that time on the Google Play Store. And you, God forbid, you've redeemed it with, like, the Flickster or something else, right? Like, some short-lived other competitor to iTunes. It was like, iTunes is always going to be there. Like, to this day, I still have a Apple TV because I have 270 movies on iTunes.
Yeah.
Like DRM to it.
Yeah. For Nintendo, back to that original point, it part of it's also like there's nowhere else to get Pokemon.
Exactly.
There's no, like, so many of the games that make Nintendo a lot of money, you can't get anywhere else. And that's long been part of their core business practice. And it's interesting that they are moving towards that in an era when Microsoft is definitely moving away, right? Halo is now Xbox or PC.
Yeah, and it's free to play.
Well, that's a separate.
As far as the multiplayer and whatnot, but it's a decision, right? Like,
yeah,
they could have locked it behind a Game Pass subscription, a PC Game Pass subscription or even an actual purchase of the title.
Mm-hmm.
They could have locked it, but instead they said, no, you know, you don't have to have Game Pass. You can just get it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that divergence, right? Nintendo are doubling down on it, but I guess people aren't playing Sonic the Hedgehog as much to compete with the Mario. They want the Mario. What was it? Oh, there was Sonic the Hedgehog, and then there was Epic's answer to it, Jazz the Jackrabbit.
Yep. Yeah. I really think Nintendo is doing their own thing right now, and I really don't think they treat Sony and Microsoft like competitors.
Yeah.
Right? I think to an extent, Nintendo especially, is doing its own thing, and I think it almost compares itself to, like, every other media, if that makes sense. Right? Of it almost is like, well, it's us or Netflix.
Yeah. They definitely think about their company and product differently than the other companies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the state of gaming. Right?
I mean, I think that this is all of it. I think that Nintendo is doing something. I think that we almost need to compare them their own little corner. And I think I've said it before. They're really almost competing against cell phones.
Yeah.
And, which is, sure, rock on.
And then you look at the amount of money that's being spent, like, in that acquisition. When you think about the absolute behemoth that Microsoft is, and who do they chart as their competition? They're not even talking about Sony as their competition, even though sales figures came out this week, or, you know, claims came out that said the PlayStation 5 analysts are saying, what is it, that the PlayStation 5 is outselling the Xbox Series X 2-1?
Yeah. And they're lowering production because they can't not.
Yeah. It's insane, right? Like, and who are Microsoft targeting? Google.
Yep.
I constantly see it in my news feed because I do pay attention to Stadia as a customer myself. But everybody is just wanting to slam Stadia as dead. It's nauseating, the news cycle right now of it. Everybody trying to proclaim that the product is dead. And yet here they are doing that whitelisting, like doing all the stuff to get other companies on board with it and get it playing on so many levels. Because, you know, as long as your internet connection is that good and there is an entry door, it's fascinating to see. And Amazon are announcing now, or really people think it's speculation, that Amazon are close to announcing that Luna is coming out of beta and it's going to be presented into the Canadian market and other markets. I think the UK. So they're going to expand it from the States right now, where it's the only place where you can play it. And they're starting to get out there, and they've had a major hit in the past couple weeks with Lost Ark, right? Like, that's
which
an Amazon game.
Free to play.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that it was actually a game from 2019, and it was made by a Korean developer and played in Korea wildly. So this thing has already gone through its growth spurts and growing pains, put it that way. So it's coming to the market in a pretty mature way, having already established or figured out some of its challenges in terms of player progression and player feedback. So I found that was a fascinating thing that's going on by Amazon, where they're buying some of this stuff or throwing tons of money at it and bringing it to market to us that way. Like, these are big moves by companies, right? Like, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about these changes in terms of strategy by the video game companies to us as consumers, and how they are getting our attention and how they're acting with one another in the marketplace.
I mean, the other side that I think we don't talk about or consider a lot is how much non-traditional gaming markets are growing. So what I mean by that is, so, like, if in sub-Saharan Africa, this is from some reporting from last year. In sub-Saharan Africa, there's 186 million gamers.
There's 180. Sorry, you cut out there. What
was 186 million gamers.
Whoa!
In sub-Saharan Africa.
What are they playing?
Yeah, so I'm looking into this, but it's like South Africa. 40% of South Africa plays video games regularly.
Wow.
Ba-da-ba.
Are these all like app-based phone games, I assume?
It looks like it is largely phone games and PC games. I mean, unfortunately, the person starts to go on into then, like, also whether or not they're using crypto stuff, which, fine. But yeah, it's increasingly because there's a lot of young people, and they can play, and they have, like, and infrastructure is building faster. They have like they have more internet connection now. They have better cell phone connection than they used to. Yeah, it looks like it's primarily mobile and PC.
So barriers to access are coming down.
Yep.
Disposable cash is able going to up. Obtain better technology.
Yep.
And you also get in places like that. They don't get the same types of cell phones that we get. They get more of a mid-grade phone, but it's offered at an incredibly different price point than it is here. We get to pay the huge dollars for, you know, the flagships. There you get off like an off-brand from a big brand like Samsung or whatever that'll be into a price point of that's reflective of the marketplace, right? Where they're not going to get maybe as much RAM or as bright of a screen. But they're going to get a phone for an absolute affordable rate for the market.
I don't know as much about cell phones. The other side is so like the North American. Oh my god, my computer's having a moment. So yeah, like the worldwide video game market in is this worldwide or America? Give me a second. Ba 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 ba. Yeah. So the global video game industry is currently valued at about $178 billion. But based upon current projections, Asia Pacific, so that's Korea, Japan, China, and Southeast Asia alone is projected to be $125 billion gaming by 2025. Based upon their current growth rates there. So like we're looking at worldwide gaming going up crazy fast.
This just really blows me away in the sense that it's a lot of money, 170 some odd billion. And then you're looking at these other markets diversifying or becoming even bigger components of that number and inflate that number even more. It's just amazing to me that Microsoft paid $70 billion for Activision Blizzard.
I mean, but that's also a lifetime, right?
I know, but geez, man.
The other side of it is if you're looking to the future, right?
And but part of that acquisition is they get Candy Crush and a whole bunch of other stuff, right? Like they get into this mobile market, like deeply.
Yep. Also, like, it's worth noting that by next year, there's projected to be 3.2 billion gamers worldwide. And I'm trying to figure out what definition of gamer they're using, but it appears to be someone who's playing video games of some kind more than an hour, average of an hour and a half a day.
Man, I don't even know if I do that. I do. Good
day. Average, right? Because a lot of people, especially if you're a console gamer, you know, it's going to jump up a lot on the weekend.
Yeah. It's
typically.
You know, like, the funny thing is I'm thinking back to my ex-wife.
Yep.
And I can't help but think she is probably a bigger gamer than I was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that she was always playing The Sims.
Yeah.
We had the computer on.
Yep.
The Sims dominated because you could be an interior decorator.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there were so many avenues to explore that title. And then when she wasn't on that or enjoying that, she was on her iPhone at the time playing Smurfs.
Yep.
Or X game. Like, it can be any game. I don't care what it is. But the qualifier that you're talking about, like I say, her, like, it's amazing to me. And that's just a regular person. And there's so many of us that do that. The funny thing is that I didn't enjoy seeing the impact of that, like, on her, especially with the cell phone, because it was like, you could literally see the cell phone would come out and it was like, well, she's gone for 3 hours now. You know what I mean? Like, she's shutting off tonight and that's her escape. And I'm like, good on you, but at the same rate. So I don't even have on my cell phone a game installed because I'm worried about the addictive nature of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's, if I'm sitting at a screen playing my PS5 or whatever, it's a choice and I can manage that choice.
Sure.
But wow, it's amazing to think of how many people it's happening to.
Also worth noting how insanely high digital's gotten.
Yeah.
So 91% of CDPR sales were digital only.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think that's part of the pandemic too, right?
EA is 87%.
Hey, if I... there was a point at which I bought my new car 7 years ago.
Yep.
At that time, there was still a record store. There is in the mall today, in my local mall or Galleria. I went to the store and I bought a physical CD. Because I still... that 7 years ago, the cars came with the CD player still. At least mine did. And I thought it was novel at the time that I had a physical CD to listen to X Band.
Yeah.
I don't think that anymore. And it's become that way. Like, I just instantly will be like, oh, is it streaming on X service? Right? Like, my complete attitude has changed on technology on that front. And video games are the same way. It used to be I'd go to EB Games. Did you know I dropped by, like, I drove by my EB Games, and they've changed it over now officially to GameStop in Canada. EB Games doesn't exist. If you go to ebgames.ca, it's not there anymore. It's GameStop.ca.
Yep.
All the branding's changed. That was mortifying to me because I'm like, I haven't gone into that store for over 2 years. And my consumption of video games is still off the chart because I'm just buying it digitally.
Yeah.
It's gonna be even having a digital system in the Xbox Series S. There's no disc drive. Like, the only reason why I really covet having a PlayStation 5 with a super drive on it is so I can watch 4K Blu-ray movies. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, how far we've come.
But yeah, it's worth noting that every single every single platform for gaming, except one, has gone up year over year, like every. And the only one that goes down, browser-based PC games.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Which again, like, all right, sure.
Well, if you look at the PC market and whatnot, a lot of the foundational underpinnings of how those games work are being torn apart because they're notoriously full of all kinds of security loopholes.
Yep. Well, and how do you make money off
flash and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible.
It's so weird.
So yeah, well, that's our deep dive on video games. Hope you enjoyed. Like I say, we're going to talk about Peacemaker, do a series wrap up and digest about it and talk about that 8th episode. I'm not going to spoil it, but I would say before you tune in and listen to it, I would strongly recommend treating yourself to it. The big piece of news out of that is that it did get renewed for a second season. So congratulations to James Gunn and Jennifer Holland on their engagement and that news, because I think that made for a very good week for them. And my goodness, the world needs more Peacemaker. That's for sure. And the other little bit of news that I thought was funny this week that I'll try ending with a laugh on is that Uncharted the movie seems to have rounded out at the box office worldwide about $139 million, I believe is the total that we're waking up to today. And the movie cost about $120 million to make. So this is the one that I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this franchise. I'm not incredibly compelled to go see Tom Holland reprise this role. And I've enjoyed the video games thoroughly through the years, but I don't think that this movie is going to sell more video games. So I think it's in an awkward spot about getting a sequel based off a criteria that maybe other movies get renewed.
Who knows?
It's going to be interesting to see the math and the reaction by the studios on this one. But congratulations to them. It's no Spider-Man, but hey, he's got to get out there and be who he is. So I'm happy for Tom to get a little bit out of the tights. Anyhow, I'm going to close up shop here. I'm going to thank you all for listening. If you're looking to track us down, you can find us at www.itscanonpodcast.com. You can look us up on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at It's Canon Podcast. You can email us at show@itscanonpodcast.com. You can subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find podcasts, you're going to find the It's Canon Podcast show. And be sure, if the platform allows, to leave a rate and review. It greatly helps us with the algorithm. And subscribe so you get notified when we drop these crazy, wonky episodes. And be sure to tell your friends, you know, that you're listening to the It's Canon Podcast. And it's the only podcast. It is the podcast, the best podcast, for talking about your week in geek, for talking about pop culture, for talking about comic books, movies, video games. Yes, we talk about video games a lot. And you know what the best part of it all is, Tyler?
All in canon. And all hail the algorithm.
All hail the algorithm. It's all in canon. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us, and we'll get back at you next week.
Woo!